Isn't God good? Are you excited? Let's give the Lord a hand. He's worthy of our praise. Come on, you can applaud him at home. He's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. This is an exciting season we're in. I hope you're as excited as I am. Whether you're at home or whether you're here, wherever you are, God has a plan. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. If you believe that, then you won't be anxious. You won't be fearful. You won't try to figure it out. God's doing a new thing. And what he says is, will you be aware of it? So the key is, how are we aware of the new things God is doing? We're taking steps that nobody's gone before. Hallelujah. We're like Star Trek. You know, we are going places where we've never gone before. Hallelujah. Because there's no history book that can talk about what we're doing right now. Amen. But the God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has a plan. And for me, this is the first time something has hit that has shut down the entire world. Right. Hallelujah. The entire world is shut down. You feel bad? The whole world is shut down. But you know what? Even the church was rattled. And some of them are rattled even to this day. Hallelujah. And so you have to ask yourself, why is that? I thank God for the epoch of time that we live in. Amen. He said, make the most of your time. Make the most of your particular epoch of time, it says in Ephesians. It says that we were birthed into this particular epoch of time. Hallelujah. I love that. You know, I can tell you, I can tell you what the history books say up to 1946. But from 1946, I can tell you about what I've experienced. Okay, that's when I was born. So if you're figuring it out, that makes me 74. Hallelujah. But I know this, that I have been birthed into this particular epoch of time, and so are you. What an awesome time. All that we've learned, all that we have, was challenged by the Lord. Hallelujah. And so what are you going to do? It was an amazing time for me. We quickly came up to speed. We went to live streaming and up on YouTube, and then we went to Zoom for our home meetings and prayer meetings and etc. And we were astonished the first Sunday that we went to live stream that there were over 300 views in the first week of live streaming. And of course, our home groups never missed a beat. They just continued to grow, and it's awesome. So people that didn't want to come down to a building could still experience the life flow of the Lord from their homes. Shut-ins, people that were unable to come, people who, because of jobs, who were unable to, were able to come right in. People that went on vacation or went to other places were able to stay connected to all that the church was doing. And I just loved it. To me, it was a clear difference between religion and relationship. The ones that had the biggest problem with all of this, the churches I'm talking about, are the religious churches. Because they couldn't just go down to the building and preach a sermon and then continue their life as normal. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, it's, what are we going to do? And Dennis and I have been on many Zoom conferences with the pastors in Manchester. We continued to maintain our relationship with the elders in the other churches. Donnie and I were on many Zoom conferences with the elders. So we didn't miss a step because of relationship. We tried to find a way, you know, that we could connect. In February, my wife and I went to Florida for our vacation. And during that time, the Lord gave me a series of messages. And I had no idea when or where I would be sharing them. And so Esther and I got back on the 5th of March. Paul Cooper had just finished a 3-part series on don't lose your focus. Isn't that interesting? Don Rumble came the following Sunday, and he shared a message. He was with us the 12th through the 17th of March, and he shared a series out of Hebrews 5 through chapter 7. And the thing that really impacted me was for the church not to become dull, but at the same time, to know the importance of Melchizedek. That Melchizedek, you know, the Prince of Peace, you know, the the king of Salem, was also always showed up, it seemed like. Don made this point. It seemed like the Melchizedek always showed up in a time of war. Should have told us something, huh? The next Sunday, by the next Sunday, we were in the stay-at-home order. Mandate, I should say. Guess what, though? We had hidden manna. Is that right? We had hidden manna. It was amazing. I had shared with the leadership the series that God had given me. I began to share that series that God had given me in Florida, and it was for such a time as this. Amazing. Hallelujah. See, you can't make this stuff up. Only God can do what God has been doing. Hallelujah. And if you don't, and if you didn't connect with God, then you're probably miserable. But when you connect with God, you're free. Hallelujah. One of the repeated prophecies, and I went up and I listened to all the prophecies because I wanted to hear what all these guys had to say, and men and women alike, recognized prophets all across the land, the country, different countries, and they all had their take on what was going to happen. But the one thing I saw that was that they were all saying, that scarlet thread, was it was going to be a reset. That there was going to be a reset when we came out of this. Hallelujah. It would not be let everything go as normal. The other prophetic word that spoke the most to me, though, was the prophetic word that Don's mom, Bertha, had. Remember that? You know, when we were down here on June 15th of 2019, you know, planning the prophetic conference, we went over to his house and with Joe Skoda, and his brother was there with his wife, and we were watching some tennis match. Strange, huh? That Richie would be watching tennis. But anyway, and out of the blue, Bertha said, you know, a storm's coming. You remember that story? And I remember just like, what? And then she went back to whatever she was doing. And a little while later, she said, sharpen the point. We said, what? And these were like at 15-minute intervals, you know. All of a sudden, then out would come part two. Sharpen the point. We're like, sharpen what point? She said, sharpen the point of the sword. We're like, okay. We continue. A little while later, then she comes out with the third part, you know. Get rid of all fear. And I looked at her and I said, Bertha, what are you saying? She said, a storm is coming. Sharpen the point of the sword and get rid of all fear. That was pretty clear. And so I've been watching that. And I've been watching the Lord unfold it. At the beginning of 2020, we have our the first Sunday of each year. We call it Prophetic Sunday. And so we just open it up and we say, whatever you feel God is saying, bring what you feel. And then we wrote it down. And the theme all throughout 2020 was focus. 2020, get it? Focus. Vision. Hallelujah. And the scripture the Lord gave me was 2 Chronicles 20:20. Hallelujah. Which says, put your trust in the Lord your God and you'll be established. Put your trust in his prophets and you'll succeed. Hallelujah. And if you remember, that was something that was mentioned to Jehoshaphat, who was in an unprecedented situation where they were surrounded and it looked insurmountable. It looked like there was no way they were going to be able to figure that out. And all Jehoshaphat could say is, we have no idea what to do, God, but our eyes are on thee. And Jehaziel stood up and he began to prophesy. And this was part of what he said. Put your trust in the Lord your God and you'll be established. How many want to be established in the faith? God gave us a second chance to be established. Hallelujah. It's talked of Jesus when he comes, you know. Hallelujah. His kingdom, hallelujah, would be established. Put your trust in his prophets. These were, to me, they were key prophetic words that were the impetus for the series for which God had given me that I began to bring. And so the first Sunday that I shared had to do with fear. And I talked about getting rid of all fear and panic, that God wanted to get rid of that, that God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but he had given us a spirit of love and power and discipline and a strong mind. And this was a time to gear up into what God wanted us to do. Hallelujah. And so in order to do that, he had a plan. You know, I used an acronym. I probably used it here before when I preached, called BUSY. If you're too busy, it means being under Satan's yoke. That lawlessness, as lawlessness increases, the love of many will go cold, and lawlessness attacks our love for God, our love for each other, our love for the lost. And, oh, I do it, but I'm so consumed. You don't know what my job is like. You don't know what it's like. You don't know what this and that. God said, oh, yeah, well, watch this. Now what are you going to do? What's your excuse to not seek me? And all of a sudden, you know, Matthew 25 comes right into view with the parable of the 10 virgins. You remember that? All of them were Christians, 10 virgins. But five had extra oil. Those with the oil, you know, it's like they're all Christians, so some were just happy with their relationship with Jesus, and I'm going to go to heaven when I die. And it's wonderful, wonderful. Hallelujah. Until it became not so wonderful. Hallelujah. But there were others, there were prudent, that continued to store up that extra oil. Hallelujah. So that when the bridegroom came with a shout, and they were all told to trim their lamps, the ones that were only dependent on that one experience, a religious experience, going down to a building, listening to sermons you never do anything with, their oil ran out. You know, a lamp is always about the Christian walk. The oil is our relationship with the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the anointed one. Hallelujah. So when the five prudent began to trim their lamps, hallelujah, they shine brighter and brighter. That's what Daniel prophesied in the last days. The people who know their God will shine as brightly as the expanse of heaven. Hallelujah. Those that were investing, those that were putting it in there. Hallelujah. And for those that didn't, God miraculously, because of his great love for us, we sang about this morning, gave us 14 weeks to get it in place. Takes 6 weeks to break an old pattern. He gave us twice as long. Truly, truly. He gave us twice as long. Get it in place. Get it in place. Get it in place. No excuses. No reasons why you can't. Store up that extra oil. You don't have a job to go to. You can't leave the house. Isn't that good? And so there we were, sequestered away. And so the second week, the next message was, be aware of what's going on. There are two great mysteries of the faith. There's the faith of Christ in you, the hope of glory, and there's the mystery of the spirit of lawlessness. And the scripture said in the last days, lawlessness would increase. And the love of many would grow cold. Hallelujah. So what's increasing in the temple? Read 2 Thessalonians 2 that talks about the spirit of lawlessness becoming a man of lawlessness in the last days and trying to set himself up in the temple as God. Guess where the temple is? Temple's not in Jerusalem. It's not this building. It's not the building where we are. We are the temple of God. And who is going to be Lord in the temple? The spirit of lawlessness or Christ in you, the hope of glory? Hallelujah. Which one are you cultivating and developing? Wow. You begin to thread the needle and see what God is doing. He has purpose. He has a plan. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that comes upon you for your testing as if some strange thing is happening to you. But to the degree you experience the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing at the revelation of his glory. Palm Sunday came, and Curtis Grimes shared a message on, Lord, I give you me. He shared a story about a boy that just got saved, and he came into church, and they passed the offering basket, and he had no money. And so the basket went by him. And he got up, and he went out, and he found the offering plate, and he put it on the floor, and he stood in the middle of it, and he said, Lord, I give you me. And that's what the theme God continued to say. I've sequestered you away. I've given you time. Don't waste the time. Store up the oil. Then came Passover. And we began to realize some things. And Dennis shared a message on live in resurrection life now. Live in eternity now. And we began to realize. I began to see that we were sequestered between Passover and Pentecost. 50 days. I believe there was no way we were going to come out of this until God accomplished whatever he was going to accomplish. And so we began to talk about that. Developing that now. Then I shared another message on character development. Because you know why? Because when you're sequestered away, all of a sudden there's any problems in your family, there's any problem, it's going to come out. And what are you going to do with it? How are you going to deal with it? Hallelujah. God's after that character. You can't run away. You couldn't leave your house. Where are you going to go? And it reminds me of the guy that said, that's it, I've had it. He went out and sat in his car. And God said, where are you going to go? He said, I don't know where to go. He said, well, get back in there and deal with it. Okay. The next thing the Lord had me talk about was in the middle of the night, I said, Lord, what do you want me to share? And the Lord said, work together with me. And I got up, I wrote it down, and I shared it that Sunday. That God, he's developing this relationship with us because he wants to work with us. He's a good, good father. He wants to work with us. Hallelujah. So I talked about working together with the Lord, working together with the truth, and working together with one another in whatever the new normal was. Finding God in the midst, you know, of live streaming or Zooming with all its, you know, interruptions and things like that. Can you still find God? Can you still be relational? Hallelujah. The next message he had brought me to Revelation 4, where John looked and he saw heaven opened. And he heard the Lord say, come up here. I want to show you what I'm going to do. And immediately John found himself there. As you were beginning to cultivate that relationship with the Lord and seek him, he wants all of us to know. He wants to show it to all of us. All you got to do is respond to his calling. Amen. And it's a higher place. And as he saw it, John was blown away. And he started crying. Who's going to open the seals? Because God was showing him seven seals. He heard this voice say, the Lamb who was slain, he'll open the seals. He purchased with his blood men and women of every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation, and made them to be a kingdom and a priest to their God, and they're going to reign upon the earth. Reign upon the earth. So I started talking about reigning in the middle of our situation. We're called. We've been purchased with his blood. Not just to tell somebody John 3:16, but to demonstrate the kingdom in a living way. Hallelujah. And I don't think God wanted us to go out running around doing all kinds of stuff because we didn't want to stay sequestered. He said, I don't want you to go anywhere until I tell you to go. I don't want you to do anything until I tell you to do it. So we became reigning in life. Wow. And then he opened the first seal. And the first seal was seeing a man on a white horse. And a bow was handed to him. And he went about conquering and to conquer. In fact, I named it the whole series, To Conquer or Be Conquered. And later, when you look in Revelation 19, you'll see that person on that white horse was Jesus. And before any of the judgments go across the world, don't you think God's going to give us an ample opportunity to prepare for it? Don't you think he would make his ways known to us beforehand, prophetically, so that we weren't consumed with the fear and panic that the world is consumed by? But that we cultivate that relationship and God will begin to do things through us. And when you have a bow and you read through the scriptures about arrows, you'd see that the first thing that God shoots is arrows into us. Pooh. Says he shoots his arrows into his enemies. Anything that's a besetting sin, anything that is a continuing problem. God wants to conquer that in you. And then it says he takes you and puts you in his quiver so he can ride off and he can shoot you into his enemies. Hallelujah. Purpose. Purpose and vision. And that was pretty much the series that God gave me. And then the next week, he showed me Isaiah 8. The same thing Donnie was studying. We were talking to Cortland Dryden guys. Isaiah 8. You're not to call it a conspiracy. In all that the world calls a conspiracy. So we went after all the conspiracy theories everybody's getting caught up with. What? Are we in God's hands or are we in the enemy's hands? Are you spending that time cultivating a relationship with him or not? Hallelujah. Then the Lord gave me another revelation, and I taught on May 24th, Satan wants to stop you. Satan wants to stop you was the message I preached. May 25th, George Floyd was killed. And all hell broke loose. And rioting. And some of the other stuff that was just unimaginable. Why? Because the enemy knew. The enemy is not like God. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. Only God can. So he has to work through powers and principalities and little demons and stuff. But he knew, oh no, if the Christians are really getting their relationship right with the Lord, I'm in trouble. He knew, because you'd hear his voice again. You'd start acting on what he would tell you to do. Next Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. Hello? All of this was taking place between Passover and Pentecost. Amazing. Coincidence? You heard what Peter said about science? God doesn't do anything haphazardly. He knows. In fact, he chose you before the world began. Not just in your mom's, you know, womb or your grandmother's, but in eternity. Wow. Wow. So May 31st was Pentecost Sunday, and Curtis Grimes shared a message on Pentecost and the history of Israel. The following Sunday, I shared on the Pentecost and the history and birth of the Christian church. And that they were all gathered because God wanted to empower them. He wanted to empower them to be his witnesses. And that word was martyreo. Hallelujah. It's where we get our English word for martyr. Hallelujah. We all want it to go back to normal. But what if it never goes back to normal? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for what you face? And so we preached that, and we talked about God wanting to empower us again. And so we prayed for people that maybe had not been filled with the Holy Spirit. People who had maybe lost it. And that had become religious again. And we prayed that they would be empowered. Hallelujah. And, you know, we could only have like 10 people up until, you know, things started opening up a few weeks ago. So there were 10 of us there, and we prayed for that empowerment over them. But then we reached out and prayed for those. Hallelujah. At home. Do you feel it? Hallelujah. That God can empower you wherever you are. He's not limited by time and space. The following week, I preached that once you're empowered, you have to be led again by the Holy Spirit. That God wants to teach us how to be led. He's brought us into this place of sequestering because he wanted to empower us. You remember the disciples? They were sequestered. They were waiting. They were trying to figure out. They had to wait 50 days. Hallelujah. And Jesus walked in and said, receive the Spirit. And then he said, go and wait for the Spirit. They're like, huh? You're going to give it to me? I got to go wait for it. It's been the big debate for years. Some people say, well, I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I got saved. And some wouldn't see it as a second experience. But it's both. You get a measure of the Spirit when you're saved. But you need to be empowered to live this Christian life. You can't live it in your own strength. If you try that, you know, you're going to die. Because everything will not go as you planned it. And then what are you going to do? Hallelujah. We had one brother that was working at 1269, and he had a heart attack. And he had to go into the hospital. His wife couldn't even go to see him. We couldn't go down and pray for him. Hallelujah. So we had to find living ways to get a hold of him via the phone or the computer and pray for him. It challenges what you believe. It challenges where you're at. Hallelujah. Didn't Paul say, all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God? This was a time to capture that voice of the Lord. So that when we come out of this, we'll hear his voice saying, move to the left, move to the right. Don't do this, do this. Because our ear is attuned again. If we spent that time, if we've been re-empowered, hallelujah, he wants to teach us to hear his voice. And so the following week I taught about how to reactivate the conscience. I think I've taught that here one time, that the conscience is not the Holy Spirit, but it's the warning buzzer that the Holy Spirit uses. Okay, to show us good and evil. We had that conscience before we were saved, and then once we were saved, he cleansed our conscience to serve a living God. And it said the goal of our instruction is love out of a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere heart. Isn't that cool? And so if you stop listening to the nudging of the Holy Spirit, and I started, here's how to reactivate it. I'm going to pray for you. Tomorrow you're going to get up and you're going to hear this. Put the top on the toothpaste. For Jeremy, change the toilet paper roll. Jeremy thinks I have a fetish for bathrooms or something. He says, why are you always talking about bathrooms? But it's reactivating. And it starts in the natural and then goes into the supernatural. First the natural, then the spiritual. And as you're practicing these things, pick up your clothes. When you're done eating, wash your dish and go and pray for that person. Same spirit. First, deactivate. So we had a reactivation. And then last week, we shared a message on it's not ability, it's availability. To Brad's point. When you avail yourself to what you don't go out to do something for God. You go out because the Holy Spirit's leading you. And you're becoming more and more sensitive. And you're practicing it at home in a safe place. When you're making your bed and picking up your clothes so somebody else doesn't have to pick them up. So that somebody else doesn't have to make that bed. So that somebody else doesn't have to do those dishes. Hallelujah. What do we pray? Play acting. Come in on Sunday and, oh, it's all spiritual, but during the week, you know, we live like craziness. No, we walk it out in the natural, and that just moves over into the supernatural, and then our natural abilities become our supernatural abilities. It's so simple, we stumble over pure and clear devotion to Christ. That's what God was catching. That's what God was rekindling in each and every one of us. Hallelujah. So that when we do come out, that same voice that said, put the top on the toothpaste, says, go over and pray for Danny. And then God gives a word of knowledge. Hallelujah. Tell Danny this. Same spirit. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Same spirit that starts in our home. In the way we parent our children, the way we respond to our parents. Same spirit, teaching them how to hear the voice of God. The nudgings of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. It'll scare you, drive you out of the room. See, I can't tell you how important it is to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. I can't emphasize enough. I mean, even this morning, God was saying a lot. Were you tracking it? Did you track what the Holy Spirit was saying all throughout the service? He had a lot to say. Want my notes? So that's a problem. We're not to hear God through other people. Amen. We're to hear God for ourselves. Same Spirit. Well, the people that are hearing God, we'll make them our elders. What? We should all be hearing God. The whole body should be hearing God. Every member has something to offer. You want to know what's going on? Track the Holy Spirit. Do you keep a journal? Do you write what he's telling you in the morning? I don't have time for that. Why not? You got time for coffee? Say amen or oh me. I had a brother one time. He was a leader in a church, and it was a couple hours away. And he wanted to meet with me because he wanted to talk about discipleship. And so I agreed. I drove an hour north. He drove an hour south, and we would meet at this diner and have breakfast and talk about discipleship. And so one of the first times I met with him, I said, do you hear the voice of God? And he said, well, I need to be better at that. Really? I said, well, here's a journal. I want you to start writing in it what God tells you. When you get up in the morning, you have to fill it with everything, but what was the emphasis of what he said? Start writing these things down. And when we get together once a week, we'll take a look at it. We'll see what God is saying. We'll see if we're connecting on the same thing. My job was to teach him how to hear the Holy Ghost, because once he would hear from God, he'd no longer need me. That's what discipleship is all about. So for a few months, boy, it was great. We were having a great time, and then he went on vacation and was gone for a few weeks, and then I went on vacation. I went on a trip probably down here or somewhere. When we finally connected, he forgot his journal. The next time we got together, he forgot his journal. So the third time, I called him early in the morning. Don't forget your journal. So then we got together for breakfast. I said, let me see your journal. Oh, well, I started looking through. He said, I know. I said, really, what do you know? Because there were all these blank spots. I said, what do you know? He said, I'm not very disciplined. I said, really? You're not very disciplined? No. You're a leader in a church? You're not very disciplined? No. Well, let's look at that. Let's see if that's true. Okay. What time do you get up? Well, I get up at 6 o'clock. Every day? Well, yeah. Do you take a shower? Brush your teeth? Yeah. Every day? Yeah. Okay. Do you have breakfast? Well, yeah. Every day? Yeah. You go to work? Yeah. Every day? Well, except the weekends. Okay. Hallelujah. You're not undisciplined. You're a very disciplined man. So he looked at me and said, what's my problem? I said, your problem is you love yourself and money more than you love God. You can call it whatever you want, but the truth will set you free. When you know the truth and you put those things into place and you begin to hear God, then when somebody's sharing something, you bear witness, called the witness of the Spirit. All of a sudden, the whole church is hearing it. And therefore, what I have, this person has. And all of a sudden, somebody else shares something. It triggers something in me. And before you know it, man, an hour, 2 hours go by. And we're like, wow, wasn't that good? See, let me show you something. You say, well, you better open your Bible. You haven't done that yet. All right, 1 Corinthians. Oh, my gosh. Being sequestered away, you had to bear a cross, didn't you? You read through the first chapter, it talks about the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But for those who are being saved, It's the power of God. Being able to recognize in the midst of a situation why you're in that situation and why God wants you there is the power of God. That God would sequester you away because he wants to spend time with you and he cares that much about it. And of course, when you look at what the world is doing and how they're running rampant, why are we so surprised? Well, we just wanted to go back to normal. Well, what if it doesn't? Are you ready to live differently? Verse 20 of chapter 1, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom didn't come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Think it's foolish to spend time just seeking God? Listen, Noah looked foolish building an ark in the desert. Sarah looked foolish, believing she couldn't conceive at 90. Moses looked foolish, asking Pharaoh to let his slaves go. The Israelite army looked foolish, moving around Jericho, blowing trumpets. David looked foolish, attacking a giant with a slingshot. The wise men looked foolish, following a star. Peter looked foolish, stepping out of a boat in the middle of a storm. Jesus looked foolish, hanging half naked on the cross. But look at the results. Noah stayed afloat in a flood. Sarah gave birth to Isaac. Moses delivered Israel out of Egypt. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. David defeated Goliath. The wise men found the Messiah. Peter walked on water. Jesus rose again from the dead. Verse 23, we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness, but to those who are the called, whether Jew or Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. We know what's going on out there. We know the enemy's putting out these feelers. He's trying to see, is this the time, you know, for the man of lawlessness to try to take over? One guy called me and he said, do you believe this is the end? I said, not yet. I'm still alive. He said, do you think the rapture will come? I said, well, if the rapture comes, I'm out of here. But if it doesn't, I'm ready. What's our theology? A bad theology is a wicked taskmaster. Jesus said, be dressed in readiness. Keep your lamp lit. Stay alert. Hallelujah. Chapter 2, verse 2. Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. A man of power for the hour. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And God is trying to extract that man-centeredness out of us. I get it all the time. What school did you go to? JCU. What? Yeah, Jesus Christ University. I majored in the Holy Spirit. You mean you don't have a degree? Paul had more degrees than a thermometer, and he laid it on the dung heap. For the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ and being found in him. Be confident in who you are in Christ. He's going to use each and every one of us and everybody out there that's listening. God wants to use you. You have a unique set of shoes to walk in. Nobody can walk in the path that you're walking in but you. Nobody can accomplish what you're going to accomplish but you. And when you start looking for it, God will use you in unique and incredible ways. Verse 6 of chapter 2, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passing away. We speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Wow. Isn't that cool? The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age had understood, because if they'd understood it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know what was going on then. They don't know what's going on now. But God sees the end from the beginning. He knows exactly what's going on. And he's given you an opportunity to get that relationship with him in place. Don't waste this moment. Verse 9. For just as it is written, things which eye has not seen nor ear has heard, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. So many people quote that. Oh boy, I'll tell you, when eternity comes, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Oh, it's going to be glorious. And it will be. But then he says, yet, or for, or but, you can use any one of those words, to us, God reveals them. God reveals them. How? Through the Spirit. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the hearts of man. God reveals them by the Spirit. He wants to show us what he's about to do. Position yourself. Don't just go out and do something because you're bored. That's stupid. You may get beat up. Well, I'd suffer for Christ. Was that suffering for Christ or for what you wanted to do? Debatable. Hello. For to us God reveals them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And let me tell you, I never hesitate sharing Jesus with anybody. Wherever I am, in whatever situation, I'm always saying, God, show me what to say. Show me what to do. But I don't go out to do it because that's what I should do. I go out and do those things because that's who I am. I've been empowered to be his witness, whether I say anything or not. Your life is speaking volumes. Verse 11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Here's why. You should underline this in your Bible. That we might know the things freely given to us by God. We have the Holy Spirit so we might know what the world doesn't have a clue in knowing. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Now see, a natural man, he doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're foolishness. And you know what? He cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. That word understand, pseudomai, it comes together for you. It comes together for us. I'm telling you, this was not a waste of time. God is about to do something, and he has been preparing us. And I pray that we have been listening and responding correctly and storing up that oil. And when you go out, I'm ready. Hallelujah. No matter what I run into, no matter what conversation, I'm ready. And I'll try to bring the word into it. And if I'm shut down, I'm shut down. But I'm going. Hallelujah. That's why Tim had that message. How lovely are the feet of him who brings good news. It's just not preaching the gospel of salvation. The gospel of salvation is mentioned one time in the Bible, Ephesians 1:13. But it's the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what Jesus said in Luke 4:43. I must preach the gospel of the kingdom to the other cities, for I was sent for this purpose. And there's a difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. In the gospel of salvation, Jesus dies for you. In the gospel of the kingdom, you die for him. Hallelujah. Are you dead yet? Hallelujah. Say, man, does God want to beat me up? No, he wants to kill you. So that you can say, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in the Son of God who indwells me. Wow. A natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual, he appraises all things. Yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. If we don't develop that, you move into chapter 3. All of a sudden, everybody says, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm of Christ, the Lone Ranger. All these, you line up with men. You line up with organizations. If you don't line up with the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, teach me thy ways. Teach me to walk on a level path. Isn't that good? I want to pray for us. I don't share these things because I'm patting myself on the back. I'm sharing these things because that's how every one of us should be. Every one of us should have the same. God gives the very same. He's a good father. It's who he is. And we're loved by him. That's who we are. And so the enemy wants to attack your identity. He wants to attack your authority. And he wants to attack your destiny. Because that's what he did with Jesus. But when I realize that I'm loved by him, we were singing it. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. If you believe it, then move in the authority that he's given you. You want to find out what the authority? Read Colossians and Ephesians. All that he wrote while he was in prison. He made some mistakes. He ended up in jail for it. But he got some revelation in jail that he wanted his brethren to know, and it was about their inheritance in him, all that we have in him. Hallelujah. When that began to happen, hallelujah, you start having purpose and destiny again. Every person that's alive right now, your destiny is not done yet. Your identity is in Christ. You have the authority of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. And he has a purpose for you. And you remember the prodigal when he took some laps and he decided to come back to the father? What happened? The father was anxiously waiting. I've been waiting for you to come back. And what did he do? He put a ring on his finger. Hallelujah. Authority. He put a robe on him. Hallelujah. Identity. He put sandals on his feet. Destiny. And he restored that to the Son. So if you've fallen short right now, God can restore your relationship with him. Hallelujah. Let's take a minute and let's pray right here, or whether you're at home or wherever you are. Let's make the most of our time, for the days are evil. God has a plan. And he has a plan for each and every person here. And it's unique. Yeah, but I can't because I'm old. Moses was 120. Come on. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just pray right now, all of us, we come before you. Lord, if this message is spoken to our hearts, Lord, Maybe we've wasted the time. We haven't been using it. God, we're still called to be sequestered away. Lord, probably part-time now, but I pray, God, may we make the most of this time. In Jesus' name, may we store up this extra oil, God. May we utilize this time that you've given us, oh God. May we not squander it with loose living. Hallelujah. But may we be serious about this moment that you've given us. May we shore up our relationship with you and with each other, Lord. In each and every situation we find ourselves in, God. Hallelujah. Whether we're at the store, the gas pumps, our home, talking to our neighbors, or wherever we are, God. Hallelujah. What an awesome opportunity. Thank you, Father. Forgive us, Lord, if we've moved off the foundation. Forgive us, Lord, if our conscience has become dull, or our conscience has become so dull that now it's seared, or that our conscience has become defiled and we no longer sense the nudging of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask you, forgive us if we've grieved you or quenched you or hindered you in any way in your desire to guide us into all the truth, to take of Jesus and disclose him to us, O God. We thank you for this, God. I pray that you would begin to move with forgiveness to each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Just receive forgiveness upon your life. Be released of anxiety and fear and panic in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. David said, I never saw the righteous begging bread. God will use you in a powerful way. He'll provide for you. Seek first the kingdom. And all these other things will be added unto you. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands up. Just receive a fresh activation in the Holy Spirit that is within you. Just receive it. Fresh. Refreshing. Refreshment comes from the presence of God. Come, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Hear our prayers of forgiveness. Forgive us, God. Come upon us and empower us, O Lord, to be your witnesses again. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your sweet forgiveness. Thank you that we are loved by you. Hallelujah. That's who we are. Thank you for that, God. Hallelujah. We're humbled by your mercy and grace, that your mercy is greater than your judgment. We receive that empowerment right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you know somebody that's struggling, go lift their hands up. Or call them, or pray for them if you're going to practice social distancing. Call them and pray for them. Hallelujah. Like Moses, even great Moses, when his hands would go down, that he'd lose the battle. The battle began to be lost. Caleb and Joshua, they came over and they lifted up their arms. As they lifted them up, Israel won. Hallelujah. As we lift each other up, we'll get strong again. We'll come out of this. And God will use us in a powerful way. Isn't that good? Yeah. I love it. Let's give the Lord a hand. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we're loved so much by you, God. We're just overwhelmed by your love and your care for us.